This is TWiT.
I am happy to tell you, proud to report, according to Mike Elgin in computerworld.com, you can safely ignore Web 3.
Oh, appreciate it.
You got to tell the rest of the web that.
Yeah. It's funny. We had on Sunday, it would have been our futurists panel. We had a science fiction author. We had Kevin Rose. Everybody got sick. So it ended up just being a priest and Amy Webb, who's an actual futurist. So I kind of thought it was like, well, we got the medieval point of view and we got the future. But one of the very first things we talked extensively about is this notion of Web 3. Maybe, Mike, because you wrote this article, you can explain what Web 3 is.
Well, okay. So Web 3 is the idea that the next version of the web is going to be based on the blockchain, tokenization, and distributed
decentralized.
Networks.
Yeah.
Decentralized, radically decentralized. Interestingly, you'll notice that the mission of the Web 3, decentralization, power to the people instead of the corporations and the governments, this was the mission of the what formerly called the internet. This is the techno-utopian hippies that created TCP/IP and all the protocols that our current internet and later web would be built out of. That was their intent to, you know, and remember John Perry Barlow's manifesto, where he said, you know, we won't be subject to governments. We won't be controlled by anyone. Well, that turned out to not work out so well because as the Web 3 enthusiasts will tell you, Web 2, the current web, where content creators have to deal with these gigantic corporations that really have all the keys and control everything. Well, the problem with this whole thing, the idea of rebuilding the web based on NFTs, blockchains, cryptocurrency, et cetera, is that it's fundamentally incompatible with human nature. So this was
By the way, the nature of technology, but go on.
And the nature of business.
Capital, but we'll get to that.
Yeah. Exactly, Jeff. And this is where Jack Dorsey chimed in and basically said that, look, because Jack Dorsey is in fact committed to decentralized communication, which is why they're working on, what is it called, Jeff? They're working on the
Blue Sky?
Blue Sky. Right, which is actually a decentralized project. His point is that the problem with the vision of the utopian Web3 crowd is that everybody wants to invest in it because they want to make money, which means you have these corporations that want to grow and profit, heavily involved, heavily in control, because that's where the money is coming from. And so, as he said, the Web3 will never escape their incentives. Their incentives are to use their power that they have from their investment to direct the nature of these products to profit themselves, right? This is in direct contradiction to the notion of this democratic, the people in charge, the crowd is in charge kind of ethos. So it doesn't really work. And I think Jack Dorsey had a great point in that regard. The other two ways that it doesn't work is that the giant tech corporations that in fact do control many of the services that we use aren't going to go along, and the public is not going to go along because it's all too complicated. People don't want, and this is sort of touches on what Jeff wrote about brilliantly, I might add, in his Buzz Machine piece, which is that human nature doesn't really, you know, content creators want to create content. They don't want to be mucking around with running their own servers, with doing all this stuff. They're not going to go along with this. And so it's kind of a non-starter. But the problem, the beef I have with the journalism around this, and the same something similar is happening with the metaverse idea, is that every cryptocurrency thing, every blockchain thing, every tokenized thing is called Web3. Well, it doesn't really mean anything if we're just talking about individual applications running on the Web2.
Web3
is how Taco Bell got cool. Is marketing.
Yeah, it's the 5G of the internet. It's just verbiage.
But 5G is.
You could argue 5G is actually something.
We can actually connect over 5G.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas the idea that, you know, it's a very different proposition to have what we have now, which is some cryptocurrency stuff, some blockchain chain stuff. We have NFTs, services around those things. We have Bitcoin wallets. We have all that stuff. There's a big difference between that, which is inevitable, and the, all that stuff will grow as well. And having the internet be based on that sort of thing. Okay, that's the part that's not going to happen ever, right? And if that isn't the Web 3, and some people, you know, nobody really fully agrees on what this is, but if that isn't the Web 3, then it's just a word that means all that stuff that the Bitcoin bros love.
Jack's tweet is the short version, which is, you don't own Web3. The VCs and their limited partners do. It will never escape their incentives. It's ultimately a centralized entity with a different label. Know what you're getting into. And, of course, he was immediately blocked by Mark Andreessen.
Mark Andreessen.
Because Mark Andreessen and Andreessen Horowitz are basically the chief proponents of Web3. It's kind of a portfolio deal for them. I think maybe the long version of this, which is kind of technical, but I think worth reading, is Moxie Marlinspike's blog post at moxie.org. Oh,
it's brilliant.
The guy that resigned?
Yeah, he's a former CEO of Signal. He invented Signal.
As of and is, 2 days ago.
Yeah, has passed it on, which is completely appropriate. We'll talk about that in a bit. But he makes, I think, I'll see if I can summarize this. He makes the point that one, and this is really important, people do not want to run their own servers.
Right.
And they never will. I happen to run my own server, but I understand why nobody with any idea of, you know, public scaling or anything is going to run their own. Even big companies run their servers on Amazon. That's why Amazon's so successful. So that's problem number one, is you can't decentralize something that's by its very nature centralized. You're not going to get people to run their own servers. He also points out, and this is a deeper insight, but actually really good, that and this is going to be a little hard to understand, a protocol moves more slowly than a platform. And to give an example that really is germane to our audience, IRC is a platform. It's been around for 30 plus years. And he says people are still trying to standardize sharing a video reliably over IRC. Meanwhile, Slack lets you not only do that, but create a custom reaction emoji based on your face, because it's a platform, not a protocol.
It's a company. It's a company that is in control. Yes, centralized control. Control enables that speed.
So he says, if something's truly decentralized, it becomes very difficult to change and often remains stuck in time. This is a
brilliant way to put it. I thought that was the best of the post.
Great insight. And once you understand that makes you realize why it's hard to – hold on just a sec. I'll get to you in a second. It's hard to propose a decentralized web because nobody's going to run their own servers, and it's not going to move along very quickly because the platforms are just going to leapfrog it. He also talks about kind of peripherally making an NFT. He makes an NFT – I'll tell you how this ties in a second. But he makes an NFT that looks different depending on where you look at it. The first one is on OpenSea. The second view, same NFT, is on Rarible, and if you do it in your wallet, you get a poop emoji.
Well, the punchline of all this is that when you buy an NFT, what you actually buy, what's registered on the blockchain, is a URL,
is a link.
So if
so he's able to change this because, you know, he can change it depending on where you come to it. But then the punchline on this one is OpenSea blocked it because they said, well, you violated terms of service in some vague way. And as soon as it was blocked on OpenSea, which is one platform that is very popular for NFTs, none of those versions of it got seen because it turns out crypto wallets don't do the rendering. Nothing does the rendering. They all use OpenSea's API to find out what's in the NFT.
So centralization strikes again.
It's completely centralized. And if OpenSea blocks it, it's gone, which really is, I think, problematic for this whole notion. So I'm sorry.
So then.
We've got to pop the stack in order. So this is a this is a LIFO stack. I think I owe you a comment first, Ant Pruitt. Go ahead.
Well, there's two things. Has anyone even considered where the people running the infrastructure stands on all of this? We moved to, say, this whole Web3 decentralized. That stuff still has to run on top of infrastructure that's going to be controlled by big companies.
Guess what?
What are their thoughts?
Those people are the ones promoting this, like Andreessen Horowitz.
Okay.
And you know why? Because they're going to make money. Who makes money in NFTs? People like OpenSea, the ones who mint it, not the people so much selling it. Okay, now.
And popping. Then I also thought,
yeah, go ahead. You're not fully popped. Go ahead.
With the thing with OpenSea blocking it, that sort of reminded me of Apple Podcasts and how Apple Podcasts seems to be the end-all be-all for the podcast industries. When you go and look up a certain podcast application or whatever, they're usually pulling from Apple's database instead of going to look at the actual creator's source.
Of course.
And that's still sort of centralized, unfortunately.
Yeah. Okay. I popped the stack, and now it's Mike Elgin next.
So it feels to me like, and you've mentioned the idea that cryptocurrency is a kind of a
Ponzi scheme.
Pyramid's Ponzi scheme or pyramid scheme or whatever. And it seems to me that the people who are investing in this sort of thing want massive universal buy-in because that's very profitable in general across the board. So they've got this sort of double think, sort of self-fulfilling kind of language thing going where they say, where they make the claim that Web3 is all this stuff that I'm invested in and that's the future of the web. And so ordinary consumers of technology news will get the sense from the incredible hype around this concept that Web3 is the future. So I better start investing in all these startups. And it just seems like a kind of a, it seems like a grand marketing scheme, similar to the metaverse thing. And I don't know if we want to talk about that later, but it seems like a grand marketing scheme to legitimize something that is really, that a certain minority of people are super passionate about and the vast majority couldn't care less. They don't understand it. They don't care, et cetera. And they're trying to get the masses, sort of the majority of people, to just go along with it, to invest in it, to make the world safe for this sort of thing, for their own profit.
I think it's always easier to market something that doesn't exist.
Yes.
It's the Vanna White principle. When somebody asked Peter Jennings why everybody liked him, he says the Vanna White principle. Vanna never says anything. So you project upon her the attributes you like. You assume that she's like you. And I think that's the same thing with this marketing. You assume it's what you want because it isn't anything. The best paragraph in your column, Mike, is the two biggest buzzwords in tech right now, the metaverse and Web3, describe platforms that don't exist, aren't expected to exist even by boosters for a decade at least, and probably will never exist. Of the top 100 concerns for tech pros, Web3 is 101. All right, popping the stack, Jeff Jarvis.
So then I read... Moxie's piece is really smart, but it's difficult to get through. I mean, I was wondering whether to assign it to students. It's very dense with ideas and technology. So I read it a couple of times, hoping I would get it. And then Matt Mullenweg, who I admire greatly, founder of WordPress, tweeted this.
Also very smart, very smart. Good guy. Yeah.
And we didn't, and we didn't talk about it last week, but there was a really good profile of him in Protocol.
Yes.
Which I highly recommend.
Yeah.
So Matt said, people seem to be redefining Web 2.0 as Facebook, et cetera, that own data. But Web 2.0 at the time was platforms like WordPress, Odeo, Six Apart, Flickr, Technorati, and Delicious that had open data and interoperate. So I was thinking about this, and then I started riffing on it on Twitter that became a post that said that I think that we make a mistake here in thinking that Web 1.2.3 is a progression. Mm-hmm. Second, we make a mistake in thinking that we're at Web 2 or 3 anyway. We're at Web 0.00001 or 0.00012. And you know my shtick, Gutenberg, it's early days. 1475, you've heard that spiel before. But same true with the web, right? It's very, very early. We don't know what it is yet. It's not as like we've graduated from something. The problem with periodization, the problem with thinking that there are, the dark ages were there and they were worthless and the Renaissance was the good thing, is the same problem with saying, well, Web 2.0 should be discarded, and Web 1.0 should be discarded because now we're Web 3.0. No, we're not. And what Matt said here, what struck me, is there's things to learn. And in a way, what Moxie asks for at the end of his wonderful piece, in a way, Matt and open source answer the questions. Because I remember when the Polaris VCs who called me when they were thinking about investing in WordPress, and they did, and they said, is it nuts? He's going to be open source? How does that work? And I said, he's already beat movable type because he's put something out there that, because it's open source, spreads widely. How much of the web does he now serve? And gets updated. And so in a sense, we've seen Web 3.0. It was Web 1.0. It was called open source.
Right, with a similar mission of, you know, power to the people and you know, the crowd, and, you know, also to Wikipedia, for that matter. Interested, passionate people will have a bigger influence than the casual user, et cetera, to build this thing without top-down, you know, policy making.
Yes, it's a creator's tool. Right, exactly.
Right. Yes. But what one of the differences, though, is that the whole open source phenomenon was so much less naive than the Web 3 phenomenon. For example, one of the big benefits of blockchains is that the ledger is permanent and public, right? The greatest doxing tool ever created. You can make a purchase somebody's NFT, and as part of your notes, you can dox somebody to smithereens, and nobody could ever remove that information.
Oh, that's interesting.
Ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Blockchain is permanent. Yeah.
Right. Another one is like, we'll use the blockchain to cure fake news. What we'll do is we'll make sure that every source of content is registered on the blockchain, and then we'll know exactly where it comes from. Well, that doesn't address fake news at all, because the problem with fake news is not that people are misled about where it comes from, it's that they think the New York Times and the Atlantic are fake news, and they think everything on 4chan is real. Right, that's the problem. Blockchain isn't going to solve that at all. So there are no solutions to the problems of moderation. Like everybody likes to dump all over Facebook for moderation, but either they do something about hate speech, or when they don't, we get to yell at Facebook. Either way, that's better than just hate speech running rampant and sort of somehow we're kind of in charge of it, you know, as a group. Like, nobody has articulated how that's supposed to work. Other than we're all blockchain enthusiasts, and so we're all people of goodwill, which is essentially how the original internet was supposed to. You know, they didn't foresee spam. They didn't foresee any of this stuff.
Yeah.
Because they thought, wow, once information is free, then everybody will be on their best behavior.
You talked about marketing previously, and I think it makes perfect sense that they would be able to capitalize on it because of this being a pandemic and where people are emotionally and socially these days with the whole resignation and wanting to just, you know, take more control of things for themselves instead of depending on their, you know, their jobs and whatnot. And then there's also the group that say, man, I remember Bitcoin 10 years ago. And man, if I had just put $10 in it back then, I would be rich and blah, 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 blah. And I think they're going to just sort of continue to market to that group and say, hey, you don't want to miss out because you missed out on Bitcoin back in the days. Don't miss out on Web 3 and just stick with us, even though it doesn't exist just yet. Just stick with us. You know,
I remember talking to the Secret Service once about scams like the Nigerian prince scam.
And I said,
there are really no new con games. The internet has just taken them off the street and put them on the internet. And this does strike me a little bit as, you know, watch your wallet because, this is the hot, new, exciting thing.
Now it's just watch your Bitcoin wallet.
I wish I could, but best place it could be is locked up right now. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Best thing.